Before we begin our scholar interviews, which I'm so excited to share with you, I want my listeners to have an understanding of what we mean when we say young adult literature. In order to have that understanding, I am going to give you the definition as it stands today. Young adult literature has traditionally been defined as any book that is marketed to and written for children ages 12 to 18 years of age. This is a category that is hyper-focused on its audience. The reason for this is because it was created by publishing houses. The category young adult literature was not one that came about via literary scholarship. Publishing houses in the 1960s noticed an emerging market of teenagers who were willing and wanting to buy books that were for them. They noticed this after S.E. Hinton published The Outsiders in 1967. S.E. Hinton was 17 years of age when she published this book, and she wrote it for teenagers who were a similar age to her. Now, there was a huge reaction to this book, and publishing houses jumped on that. They said, okay, we're seeing a trend of people 12 to 18 years of age-ish, wanting books. So why don't we take books that were not maybe labeled for them and start labeling it for them? So they'll go, they'll see, oh, these books are young adult. That means they're for me. And then they will go and buy them. And publishing houses could financially benefit from that. Of course, by simply labeling a book young adult, you're not really giving a definition of the category. You're giving a target audience. But this has been adopted as the definition of the category. What happened when this was adopted as the definition is there were so many parts of these books that were overlooked. And the reason for that is because historically, things that are marketed for teenagers or things that teenagers take a particular liking towards have been deemed less serious. And that is due to a lot of the stereotypes that we have around teenagers. We're going to talk more about this with Roberta Selinger-Trites, and she gives a fantastic explanation for why young adult literature has been overlooked because of the stigma around teenagehood. In our society today, we understand teenagehood or adolescence as a given. It is a social grouping that we are very familiar with. That wasn't always the case. In fact, preceding the 20th century, the term adolescence wasn't commonplace at all. And the reason for this is because there wasn't really a stage of teenagehood. Of course, there were teenagers in their actual like age range, but there was not teenagehood in the sense of like you go, you get an education, you know, in high school. There was childhood where you got some education up until about the middle school age as we understand it now, and then you went straight into the workforce to help support your household. It wasn't until the 1930s to 1940s and the institutionalization of education that the definition of a teenager really came to be as we know it right now. With the institutionalization of education, there was a push for the kids enrolled in school to read more. As Roberta Trites talks about in her book, Disturbing the Universe, the National Council of Teachers increased their focus on getting better reading material for the kids enrolled in school because there were more and more children enrolling in secondary school. The reason why there were more children enrolling was because education was becoming more commonplace. It was becoming less of a luxury and more of a standard. Now, I'm not talking about colleges. I'm talking about high schools, particularly public high schools. The kids that were enrolling in high school were generally part of the middle class, and this middle class household had some expendable income. Coincidentally, and to the benefit of this category, at the same time that teenagers were starting to be recognized as their own group of people, the United States was also experiencing a huge growth in their economy following the Second World War, and this meant more expendable income. The group that was benefiting from this expendable income was the middle class and the middle class teenager. And one of the things that they wanted to use that expendable income on was books. And this brings us to S.E. Hinton publishing The Outsiders and why that became such a success. Because now teenagers were in school, they were being exposed to books, and that was causing them to want to go out and buy books and want to read. The Outsiders was the first young adult book, but it was only recognized as such by publishing houses. At this time, there was no young adult category in literary scholarship, and to this day, there still kind of is not young adult literature. It actually falls under the umbrella of children's literature. We're going to talk more about these categories and their specific definitions with Roberta Trites as well. So when the category first was ramified in publishing, it was not understood in literary scholarship or recognized in literary scholarship. So there was no initial research being done when this category was created by scholars. This means that there is a lot of archival research that has yet to be done. For instance, we don't know when young adult first began to pop up as a heading in bookstores or in libraries. Had there been 3 or 4 decades of a vibrant community, then the scholarship would have this information already, and that's proof that YA has still been understudied. Part of the reason why YA has gone understudied is because, as I said before, institutions like the MLA actually do not consider YA to be its own category. They put it in a subcategory under children's literature. And what happens when it's understood as children's literature is that there becomes this confusion about what in fact constitutes a young adult novel, as well as the purpose of studying young adult novels in their own right, separate from children's books, because they are separate from children's books. It has only been recently that academic scholarship has been setting young adult books aside and saying, okay, these are the common elements in a young adult book, and this distinguishes them from children's literature, therefore they need their own category. However, they still do not have their own category in high-level institutions like the MLA. We are going to talk with Chris Crow about some of the elements of a young adult book, so I'm not going to give those away yet. We will be getting to them. And then we're going to take an even deeper dive into those elements when we talk to our authors and ask them why they do or do not include them. It is important to note when we're talking about these elements that while there are common aspects to a YA novel, it's not true of all YA books. And these elements aren't definite indications that a book will or will not find traction among its target audience. So it's a really tricky and nuanced task to define young adult literature. But what we do know is that it's doing a disservice to the category to have this age range based definition of these books. That age range based definition completely disregards the complexities and the literary aspects of these books, and they all have these aspects. What a better definition of YA would do, and the definition that we're really trying to get to the crux of in these interviews, is talk not only about the target audience, but also about the elements of the books, the craft of the books, and the response of its readers. And each of our groups, the scholars, the authors, and the readers, are going to be helping us to unearth the complexities of these books and to create a better understanding of what makes YA YA.